He might have some age-related mental health issues. But after we put it in the podcast, I saw Stephen Colbert talking about it on the Colbert Report.
Okay, it is cheese from human breast milk.
Lovely. Why doesn't this turn me on?
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 134 of the award-winning, foot-stomping, show-stopping podcast of record, Countless Screaming Argonauts.
I think we gotta get away from the foot-stomping, show-stopping. and I think next time we should start with Jameson's Irish Whiskey presents Countless Screaming Argonauts.
Sure. Sure. Well, today is, just for the sake of saying it, today is Monday, April 5th, 2010. I think we should just call tonight's show News of the Weird.
All right.
Because I, you know, as I was perusing the intertube webs,
yes.
I didn't find a lot of really good stories this week, but I did read a lot of really weird stories.
Yeah,
and,
well,
you know,
I like
sometimes
a lot of weird
weird
stories.
Is better than good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And we've taken the opportunity to be serious on other occasions.
Right. So I got a couple here right off the bat about counterfeit money.
Okay.
Okay. In Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, a customer at a Food Lion successfully used, and I'm emphasizing that, successfully used a fake $200 bill, which had the likeness of George Bush on it to pay for $150 worth of groceries.
Was it George W. or George the First?
George W.
Wow.
Okay. Now, that reminded me, and I looked it up to get the details, that reminded me of the Georgia woman a few months ago who went to Walmart and gave her $1 million bill for $1,600 in purchases. Needless to say, she wasn't successful.
No, they didn't cash the $1 million bill?
No, she didn't get $998,000.
The front end manager didn't call over the front end manager and say, can we break this?
Right. So I guess the question I have is, Max, for lack of a better word, how dumb do you have to be as a checker at a Food Lion not to realize that there's no such thing as a $200 bill?
That's actually a hard question. You have to be ignorant for sure. But I think you have to be really dumb because this is years ago. I mean years ago. When I first got out of high school, I worked at a Bradley's. I don't know if you ever heard of Bradley's.
Oh, sure. We used to have Bradley's up here, yep.
And now it's, of course, gone defunct.
Right.
And they gave us instructions on how to use credit card machines back in those days and how to do some basic counterfeit money identification. You know, I mean, there. If you open a Food Lion, I'm assuming is a relatively large grocery store.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's a chain,
right.
So they're going to have a policy about counterfeiting.
You would think so.
Somebody talked to that person about counterfeits. I still remember that if you take a piece of white paper and you rub the bill on both sides of it, and a little bit of green ink comes off, it's probably a legitimate bill.
Right. I know that College Boy, when he worked at the bank a couple summers ago.
Yeah, they don't let idiots work at the bank.
Well, you have to. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff on counterfeit money that he had, you know.
Right.
And there's like a series of tests. You do one thing, and then you do another, then you do another.
Right.
You know, if there's any kind of doubt, it starts out with that little pen.
Right.
You mark with and
you look for some kind of discoloration.
Right. And stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
I've had people
do
that.
I don't know if this is an indictment of the North Carolina education system, an indictment of the Food Lion in its training of its staff, or if it was just a simple duh mistake, but, you know, a fake $200 bill. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I know people all over the country and somewhat all over the world. And a friend of mine, a friend I graduated high school with is living in North Carolina, and he said they have bumper stickers down there that say, North Carolina, 49th in education, thank God for Mississippi.
I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, he said they have lousy roads, but everybody has a swimming pool in the backyard. It goes back to our discussion on another show about the role of government. Yeah, maybe this person was just stupid.
I guess. All right, another news of the weird. Okay, a 68-year-old man was arrested and has been charged with assault for punching kids in the back of the head at a local Walmart while their parents weren't looking. Ralph, that was his name, Ralph, would put his keys between his knuckles and he would whack the kids on the head while their parents were entranced by the Walmart bargains.
Wow, hit him with the keys, huh?
Yeah, when asked, he said he did it for the thrill of getting away with it and said that he had been doing it since January, so for about 3 months. And in the understatement of perhaps the year, his lawyer said he has mental health issues.
I was just going to say, he might have some age-related mental health issues.
I would say that that's probably...
Which reminds me, we just as an update, and I had a new motto for us today. I wonder if I can remember it. It was something like second in news. Because we didn't come up with this story about the old man and old woman who put the salt in the sand.
Oh yeah, right. The in the Jello.
Right. After we put it in the podcast, I saw Stephen Colbert talking about it on the Colbert Report.
Really?
Yeah. And we were ahead of Colbert.
I guess he I guess he listens to the podcast.
I think that must be it. So, you know, outside of genuine news gathering organizations, I think we're the second most trusted source on the interweb tubes.
Right. Oh, interesting. Well, yeah. We may have to – that could be our motto.
Yeah, it was better.
We got there before Colbert. Okay, more news of the weird.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that even getting this particular news, this next section of news of the weird is kind of weird.
Okay.
Because I didn't get it from the interweb tubes.
Oh, yeah?
I actually got it from the Valley Advocate, which is a news and arts weekly for Northampton and Amherst.
One of them hippie colonies up there in the liberal Massachusetts.
Right, with the gays and the lesbians and the artists and good restaurants.
That's interesting that we're getting a news source from such
from a real newspaper.
we have talked about the New York Times before.
Yes, we have. All right, so there were four of them in this newspaper. The first one was about Chef Daniel Angerer.
That's weird.
He has developed a fromage de Seine.
I know what fromage is.
Right. Okay. It is cheese from human breast milk.
Lovely. Why doesn't this turn me on? I think this is gross.
He takes 2 gallons of mother's milk and makes 2 quarts.
You know, this must be from Octomom, right?
I don't know. I guess so. And his comment was that it tastes just like really sweet cow's milk.
Why does this turn my stomach?
I don't know.
Does it turn your stomach? Is there something wrong with this?
Well, it doesn't turn my stomach, but I look at it and I say, weird.
Yeah.
Weird. There's no other word pops into my mind, just weird.
Yeah, you know, because like sort of fresh, I can imagine the delight, but somehow putting it in cheese just
you know, you can't see a grilled cheese sandwich that.
No,
same way anymore.
Something about this bothers me. I like the original packaging.
A little cream cheese on crackers just changes the whole thought about it.
Somehow this bothers me.
Okay, well, I can understand.
Does it bother you?
Well, you know, I really don't know if it bothers me. I just think of it as weird. I don't know what else to say about it.
I always think of this book I read, Men Against the Sea, which was the story of Captain Bligh. And they were desperate to eat. If somebody had dropped them 8 pounds of breast milk cheese in the middle of the ocean, they'd have devoured it. And right. If I was in that boat, I'd have devoured it too. But if you put it next to Borden's, I'm sorry. You know, I'm buying the Philadelphia cream cheese or you know.
Absolutely. Cow's milk, okay. Goat milk, pretty good.
But why do we drink milk from cows?
Mother's milk. I don't know.
Why am I in favor of cow's milk instead of goat's milk?
Probably a cultural convention.
I like goat cheese.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You've made me think deep thoughts again, and I don't
there
like
it. There we go. All right, moving on.
Okay.
The Florida Agricultural Department, acting on a tip, confiscated a shipment of giant African snails being smuggled into the country.
Reminds me of a punchline to a joke, but go ahead.
When they asked the guy why he was smuggling them in, he said it's because they use them in his religious ceremony called Ifa Orisha, which encourages followers to drink snail mucus for its healing powers.
Why does this bother me?
This one turns my stomach a bit. But here's the best part.
Yeah.
Okay? The best part is that the Department of Agriculture said that the bacteria in this mucus causes frequent violent vomiting, among other symptoms. I mean, you know, they have these religions where they smoke pot. I can understand that.
Well, the Rastas, who are out of their freaking mind, like most religious people, I think.
Right.
But, I mean, come on, Haile Selassie.
Why would you say drink snail mucus? I just don't get it. Don't get it.
You know what the customs guy said when he saw the snails?
No, what did he say?
Look at that escargot. That's
yes,
the punchline.
Yes, it is an old joke. Yes, yeah, I know the joke. Yes.
That's gross. But I'll tell you a story that I heard on NPR yesterday.
Okay.
There was a guy who had massive allergies, and he was telling the story of getting himself infected with ringworm. And when he got the ringworm, the allergies went away.
Huh.
And he had a business. He was selling ringworm. He said, I don't understand why people aren't 20 deep on my lawn begging me for this product. And, of course, the federal government came in and shut him down, and he's moved to another country. He's selling it online, but he won't ship it to America. I expect he's in Canada probably.
Right.
But he said, you know, I get piles of this stuff out my butt every day.
Oh, God.
But seriously, it's – he believes absolutely and has several people who he's sort of cured from asthma and allergies with ringworm. He said, what's wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
The problem with that and this News of the Weird show is that he's serious.
Right. That even makes it weirder, though.
Well,
but
so did the guy with the breast cheese and the guy with
the snail mucus.
Yeah.
All right. I got another one. Speaking of drugs.
Okay.
Okay. The Chinese admitted this last week that they are having a growing drug problem in Shanghai.
They're having problems growing drugs?
No, they're having a growing drug problem. In the form of use of methamphetamines and cocaine at all-night parties.
Okay.
Now, what's your first reaction to that? American cultural or the, you know, culture is just seeping in and whatever?
Oh, yeah, trailer parks.
Right. No, that's not it.
Huh.
These Shanghai druggies, according to the article, are middle-aged retired people who are using the drugs to give them strength for all-night mahjong tournaments.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's great. So
blame the trailer trash, but it really is just a bunch of Las Vegas wannabes.
Yeah. Well, and of course the libertarian in me would say, so let them do drugs and play mahjong.
Right, let them go. Well, I got one more. News of the weird. And this one is – the title of it was Questionable Judgment.
Yeah.
And you can understand – when I read this, you're going to understand where that comes from.
I think I will.
Okay. In December, near Miami Township, Ohio,
all right,
there was a man who was driving around young female family members when they decided that it would be cool, they, meaning all of them, decided that it would be cool to feign crimes as they drove. So he was stopped by police and arrested because three different people had called 911 to report that there was a 12-year-old in the back seat duct taped.
Wow.
Okay, the Ohio man who was detained by police admitted that he thought it would be quote-unquote funny if his granddaughter held a BB gun to his head as they drove around the Dayton Mall, and that's where it started, and then they did this thing about abduction. So,
wow.
You know, questionable judgment, absolutely. But really weird. Really, really, really weird.
We may once again be talking about an age-related mental illness.
We do. Now, can you imagine if that's your, you know, like your parent, and you left him with the grandkids, and you find out that that's what he was doing?
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is you know, for me, it's enough to get out the pitchforks and the flaming torches.
Well, you know, at the very least, sorry, Dad, you can't come over anymore.
Right.
You know.
Only supervised visits, only.
Right. We have to be here because.
Because you're weird.
We can't trust you with the kids. Yeah, it's not. I guess it's kind
because
of.
That was a really weird loss of judgment. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know, you just don't put a BB gun in a child's hands and say, here, no. Grandpa's head.
Don't duct tape your kids in the backseat of a car. This isn't National Lampoon Vacation.
Right.
This is real life.
Right, yeah. This is Chevy Chase quality. Right.
Absolutely. This is something out of, you know, what was the group of movies where the guy died at the party? This is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Talking about the Florida, the kids, whatever.
That's ridiculous. Weekend at Bernie's.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that those shows or movies are made of.
It's just weird. It's stupid.
If somebody presented that as a movie script, they would say nobody would believe it. Why would you even bother writing it?
Yeah, it would have to be high farce.
Right.
But I mean, they've made stupider movies. But but if your 17-year-old did it, you know, he'd be grounded till July.
Sure.
You know, at that point you say, what were you thinking? What were you smoking?
WTF.
Right. Maybe Grandpa was doing something organic.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I guess. Well, I got one more for you, Max.
Yeah, I think that's what you said the last time.
Yeah, I know, but I found one other one.
Oh, well, you have to hit me.
This is our seeing a biblical face in another organic in organic matter.
And I learned from another podcast, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Science, which unfortunately I don't find time to listen to anymore, that the term for that, for seeing something as it's not there, is pareidolia.
Pareidolia. Okay, well, our pareidolia fact of the week.
All right.
All right. A San Antonio woman claims that she saw the face of St. Peter.
Oh, no. It's not Jesus.
Not Jesus. St.
Peter. How does she know what St. Peter looks like?
Wow. Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
In an agate stone.
Oh, cool.
She said that if you look in the Bible, Exodus 28:17-21, the verse describes a priest's robe adorned with 12 stones. The 12 stones represent the 12 houses of Israel. In the passage, one of the stones is agate.
Wow.
She also points out that St. Peter's name was changed to Peter by Jesus.
Right, it was Simon, right?
Church, right, on this rock I will build my church.
Right, right.
And she said, so this stone is the symbol of hope, which is especially timely during the Easter season. And as I always say, I looked at the picture, and I said, you know, that looks like either St. Peter
or Cat Stevens. Or Evan. Yeah. Well, see, that was my first thought. It's, really, how much different does St. Peter look from Jesus?
How much different do either one of them look from Cat Stevens?
Stevens, absolutely. Yeah, I have more respect for one than the other. But
So that's my pareidolia.
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 Pareidolia moment of the day. We should look for one of those for every show because they're just great.
They're always out there. I mean,
yeah.
You just have to find the right taco or Dorito chip.
Or piece of toast.
Right.
All right. I got some stuff here. I have no idea how funny it is, but I'm just going to read and see where we go.
Go ahead.
This is under the heading of Can't Possibly Be True. In February. That's hopeful, right?
That's the motto of our show.
The undergraduate dean's office at Yale University disclosed that it was formerly soliciting anonymous first-person reports of student sexual experiences to publish in a school website as strategies for creatively navigating Yale's sexual culture. Right away, it sounds like something the school should be doing to me.
Right.
Quote, there is a real need for students to have space to think about what happens to them and what they want to have happen, she said. Quote, sex at Yale would contain 70 to 80 specific perspectives, she said, but critics suggested the anthology might grow to resemble Penthouse magazines. Often,
I was just going to say, you know, it's either that or Penthouse Forum.
Right.
Either one of those would be true.
I don't see any reason that the Yale University shouldn't sponsor.
I was driving home in my van the other day when I noticed a group of 12 cheerleaders on the side of the road whose bus had broken down.
But whose busts had not broken down.
Right.
Oh, what was I? I was listening to something the other day, and this guy was talking about having gone and bought a new bed, and when he got it home, he wanted to surprise his wife. He found that he hadn't bought a mattress or box spring with it because they don't sell box springs and mattresses with it. So, like every normal person would do, he called his father to see if he would get a mattress from somewhere, and the father said, let me check. And he called him back and he said, go see Uncle Ed, who wasn't really an uncle, but was like an uncle. And Uncle Ed had a mattress in the back of his van. And the guy brought it home. And when the wife came home, she said, that smells like oil. Throw it out. It's a little story from – but I think it was a true story. I wish I could remember. Ah, what I could remember, if only I could remember. It's good to be a British welfare mother under the government's local housing authority. Esma Margim, age 34, unemployed and a mother of six, so she's still got a ways to go, is entitled to rental assistance for a five-bedroom home. Now, this is liberalism at the other end, but maybe not. And the only suitable one she could find is in an exclusive London suburb in which her neighbor, Sir Paul McCartney, is Sir Paul McCartney. Luckily, the generous allowance, equivalent of more than $9,000 a month, covers the rent on the nearly $3 million U.S. equivalent mansion. Additionally, according to the Daily Mail, Margim's non-housing government benefits totally equivalent of about $22,000 a year.
Huh.
Wow. See, that might be liberalism gone around the bend.
Right.
All right. Let's one more shot. Shall we take a random shot under the heading of inexplicable?
Sure.
Does that sound like a promising?
Absolutely.
In January, Aretha Brown, it's difficult to be named after a part of the body. You remember that from Mad Magazine?
No, I don't, but that's
a letter to the editor. Difficult to be named after a part of the body. It's signed Aretha Franklin. Who has lived in the same house in Callahan, Florida, population 962, for 30 years, suddenly became unable to leave her yard unless she crawled between the CSX railroad cars blocking her access to the road. Oh, I guess that makes sense. Tracks had always been in place, but the railway only began storing train cars on them this year. CSX told the Florida Times Union that it would soon build Brown an access road to the street. Florida Times Union, February this year.
Wow.
How do you build an access road to the street through the railroad car?
Probably go underneath it, like a little tunnel-like type thing.
Wow.
Or a bridge over it, either one.
Yeah, that's weird. But that's the news of the weird, huh? One more, or we go to Yogi?
No, I think it's time for a few minutes for Yogi.
All right. Starting from the 25th position in our list of Yogi Berra hits, which these are not rated according to preferred order.
Right.
I have Yogi's. I made a wrong mistake. Which is...
Yeah, we often make wrong mistakes.
It's the worst kind of mistake to make, but the most common.
Right.
Anyway.
You can make a right mistake.
Yeah, I suppose you can.
But,
yeah.
You probably... Know, like, for example, here's an example, okay? You're betting the horses. You want to pick the number two horse to win.
Right.
You accidentally bet him to plates.
Right.
And then he wins. And then he places.
Right.
Okay? So it's a mistake... But it's a right mistake because you ended up winning the bet.
Right. There's probably a better example than that somewhere.
Well, you know, I can think another one is ice cream or beer.
Choose
beer.
That's the right mistake?
Yeah, it could be.
For sure. Yeah. You know what? I had ice cream and beer last night at trivia. And,
there you go.
And ended up with such a bloated feeling that I couldn't finish eating the rest of the cake that I got with the ice cream. Boy, I bet people really wanted to hear that. Anyway.
That's a right mistake.
It was a wrong...
horribly wrong.
It was a wrong mistake to have told that story, though. It just anyway, number 26 on our hit parade is Texas has a lot of electrical votes. Yeah, obviously he's talking about electoral votes.
Yeah, right.
And he's not the only one that has made that mistake.
Right. But how much of an idiot do you have to be to ask Yogi for election results?
let's see what that comment here is. During an election campaign, after George Bush stated that Texas was important to the election. Oh, Yogi was just clarifying what George had said.
Okay. So good.
He probably did clear it up. I always thought the record would stand until it was broken. Like most of the things Yogi said, who could argue?
Right. There is a kernel of truth, for sure.
And that's what we found. That's in almost everything that Yogi said. Yeah, but we're making great time. In reply to, hey, Yogi, I think we're lost.
I think we're lost, yeah. That's a pretty famous one. I mean,
yeah, and another one of my favorites, I think.
Great time.
And it could be absolutely true. There's nothing wrong with that. He didn't misspeak.
Right, no.
I've been trying to...
truth to it.
Yeah, I've been trying to think for a couple of weeks why it is that these things delight me so.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's that kernel of truth. I don't know.
I agree. I think, you know, as we said from the very, very start when we first started doing them, you know, we were just not used to having the words put in the particular order that Yogi puts them in.
Right. There's nothing wrong about what he said.
No.
All right. I get to read them ahead of time. Maybe this is the one to finish on. And maybe you can finish it. You probably can. If the fans don't come out to the ballpark, can you finish that one?
No, I can't. If the fans don't come out to the ballpark.
You can't stop them.
Oh. Right. And how true that is.
How you true know? That is.
Once again, if they're not coming out to the ballpark, you can't stop them from not coming.
That's right. He's brilliant. I just love him. You know, he just sits there with it.
He's a national treasure.
He really
is. About it.
And
he's certainly in the field of baseball.
He started out being able to squat really well is how he came up with the nickname Yogi. Some kid in St. Louis gave it to him. But in the end, he kind of is our guru of wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no doubt about it. I mean, he certainly has more personality than a lot of other ball players of that era.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's a... I was going to say a vaulting humility. You can't really be vaunted or vaulted and humble. There is something profoundly humble about him, and I think maybe that's the thing that makes him most charming of all.
I think so, too. I think, and on that note, we should end this podcast, bring it to a screeching halt, and...
get the heck out of here.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll plan on getting together next week to do this all over again.
which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off.